Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue singing together from Psalter 68, stanzas 1 and 2. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 68, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, but first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Matthew 28. And the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and presence. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things, and who has said at the end of creation, Behold, it is very good. Thou could look upon also, thou crown jewel of creation, man, whom was created in thy image and knowledge, righteousness and holiness. And thou could say, Behold, it is very good. there was no sin. But Lord, on this first day of the week, in this morning hour, on thy day, we have gathered together in thy house. And thou art looking upon us from above. Thou seest each and every single one of us. And thou knowest all things. Thou knowest our thoughts, our words, our deeds, all our sins. And Lord, we read in thy word that thou art looking upon earth, and there is none good, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after thee, and that is us and our children as a congregation by nature. We are born without thee. No hunger for thee, no need for thee, no seeking thee. But Lord, we have heard from thy word of that message to those women, behold, I know that thou seekest Jesus. And Lord, by thy grace, there are also those among us who have been born again and who can find no rest in anything in self or in this world and have a longing to be reconciled with thee, to have thy favor, to receive a little token, a smile from above. And have learned it's all shut up from their side, no hope, but who have been led to that one who is the only way, who has that one who is sent by God the Father into the world to seek and save lost sinners. They have, by thy grace, begun to seek thee. Lord, thou knowest in our hearts it's all open unto thee. Remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, in thy mercy, may it be today that thou would speak and say, live, and that dead sinners may receive life, become lost in self, stripped of everything, may become like that publican crying unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And oh, may there be those who cry out, what must I do to be saved? O Lord, we beg thee then as we have gathered together, that thou who art that faithful one, that merciful one, the one who has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee unto thy church and to thy people. Thou who art always present, as we have heard from thy word this morning. Lord, we beg thee, as thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou would be among them. Lord, come among us and bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that by thy Spirit sinners would be convicted and convinced of their sin. We have heard thy law again. May it be a mirror before us to show us who we are before thee, a holy and just God. But Lord, we have also heard of the gospel. Oh, may the precious gospel through thy dear Son be that balm in Gilead for wounded, for perishing sinners. Oh, may they hear of that only way of peace, of reconciliation, of that only way to be justified and to be sanctified, and that is through him who came to satisfy thy justice, through him who came to be the law fulfiller for transgressors. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, rend the heavens and come down among us. There is no hope in man. Our only hope is in thee. Unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou alone can give spiritual life. Thou alone can lead and guide poor and needy sinners upon that narrow way that leadeth unto thee. Thou hast that power to translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. O Lord, we beg thee then, may that also take place today here in this church, in our families, but also in the hearts of sinners. May sinners be brought to true repentance and faith. Oh, may it be today that the angels may rejoice in heaven that sinners are brought to repentance for the first time, but also by renewal. Lord, we beg thee, thou art that almighty God, thou can do above all that we think and ask. Thou art that one who said, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, we have nothing to bleed on from our side. We're a polluted, we're a guilty, sinful congregation. Thou could only righteously and justly pass us by. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, that thou would renew sinners and lead sinners unto that only place of refuge and safety in thy dear Son. Oh Lord, wilt thou draw them with those cords of love unto thyself? May there be food and drink for poor and needy sinners in thy house here today. Oh, wilt thou then also guide and lead that poor and needy people that have so many questions in self and who wonder, how could I ever belong to that blessed people, to that people whom thou hast chosen in eternity and who will save in time and bring to that glory that we heard in this past week? Lord, salvation is of thee. Wilt thou then work irresistibly by thy word and spirit, and that sinners today, also here in Cortland, may be those recipients of thy grace, that they may then also have that testimony of thy spirit with their spirit, thy dear people, that they belong unto thee, that thou knowest of them. And Lord, those recipients of grace, what a great blessing we have received of thy free and sovereign grace. Oh, wilt thou then give us a heart and a life that is a desire to serve thee in all that we are and have and do, and that we may be a light in this world for thy honor, for thy glory. Lord, thou hast separated us and our children from the world. We are no better. Thou hast given the truth of thy precious words yet to be able to be proclaimed here in Cortland. We have the truth, but Lord, we need the truth in our hearts. And may that truth in our hearts then bring also that our mouth may be opened to share of the precious truth of the wonders of thy free and sovereign grace with our loved ones, with those whom we may associate day to day, but also that we may speak also to those who are under darkness around us. O Lord, we beg thee that inflame the hearts of thy dear children for thy honor, for thy glory. And wilt thou touch their silent lips, and that they may speak and share, and that thou would richly bless it here in this church, in the neighborhood, through this country and the world at large. Lord, we beg and pray thee that the truth of thy word may be proclaimed among Jew and Gentile, and that thy kingdom may come, that sinners would be born again, and that poor and needy sinners may come to know and hear and have that faith in that only Savior, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thou hast said in thy word, other sheep I have, and thou wilt gather them in. Thou art that almighty, resurrected, exalted Savior, and thou hast been given all power to give life unto dead ones. Lord, give life, for without thee, without thy grace, without thy work, we will only remain dead, maybe knowing the truth, yet dead. Oh, we pray, Lord, have mercy then, and look upon us, and the merits of thy dear Son through his righteousness and through his all-atoning blood. Wilt thou then give that we may be a praying congregation, one for another, for all our cares and needs, for the mourners, for those who are sick and afflicted, but also for that member that is under silent censor. O Lord, wilt thou then give a praying heart, and that thou would answer those prayers that thou would give among us. O, we pray that thou would work mightily then with thy spirit also throughout us, and give that dead sinners may become praying beggars at thy throne of grace, but also thy people, that their hearts may be stirred up. They can be so cold, so hard. Lord, come and break those hearts again by thy love and by thy mercy, and that our hearts may desire to serve thee in all our whole life. We pray that thy people may be a light in this dark world by thy grace, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for the benefit of those around us, our neighbors. Lord, we pray and beg thee that thou would remember us also, as we may again today be gathered in thy house to hear thy word. And Lord, maybe many times we come just out of custom. O Lord, may we see the wonders of thy mercy, that we may freely gather, that there's many upon this earth of thy church under persecution and who do not have this blessing. But Lord, we pray that thou would then give today by thy word and spirit blessings from above. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Lord, wilt thou help the sinner on the pulpit, and may there be much prayer among the congregation, and that he may be carried on the wings of prayer. But Lord, we beg thee, open spiritually deaf ears to hear thy voice, that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that they may hear it's the Lord's word. Enlighten minds to the truth. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, hearts that are not only hearers, but that become doers by thy grace. Lord, we pray, remember then also all mission work locally in this nation, throughout the world, among Jew and Gentile. Bless it, Lord, by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Remember then also the mission work that may be done in Bolivia, the place that thou hast given us as a denomination. Lord, richly bless thy word in that nation to many of that people, that many may be born again, that many may become lost in self and seek that only way of salvation, and reveal it unto them through thy dear Son. But Lord, do the same work among us and in our denomination here in the established congregations. May we lay before thee all thy servants throughout the world. Help each one, Lord. Remember those with cares and needs for their bodies and their minds. Remember the students, Lord. Help them in the theological school. Help the instructors. We beg and pray thee, remember also all elders and deacons. Give them what they stand in need of. We beg and pray thee, remember also the elders and deacons in Bolivia. Help them, Lord, thy servants there. And especially, may we ask thee to remember Pastor Marco. Lord, help him. Give him the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that all thy servants, all missionaries, all evangelists, all church workers, all office bearers, that we may be instruments in thy hand for thy honor, for thy glory, and that thy kingdom may come through the foolishness of preaching. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Lord, thou could righteously pass us by, but may we beg and ask thee that thou would hear us, that thou would answer us and visit us. O Lord, remember us in thy mercy. Through thy dear Son, wash and cleanse us from all our many sins, and hear us for him, for his name, because of him who sits at thy right hand, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 40. The first four verses, and more if necessary for the collection. Psalter 40, thy law that the Lord has ordained is perfect, a soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise, the truth that is sure evermore. Psalter 40, the first four and more if necessary, and the collections for today is the first for the church and second for the Terra home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, when we think of the Reformation, what enters your mind? We might think that in the church in the past, there was much darkness and error because the truth of God's word was not proclaimed. The biblical foundational doctrines were not clearly taught as we read of them in the Word of God. The doctrines of the Word of God was twisted, and God was not glorified, and poor and needy sinners were not comforted with the truth of the Word of God. The Bible was not the only foundation for all teaching and rule of life. And the authority of the Word of God was not the only authority, because in the Catholic Church, the Pope would speak, especially in certain circumstances, and that his word was counted as much as the Word of God. Personal Bible reading wasn't instructed by the church. It wasn't encouraged to share the Word of God with others. The priest was the only one that could really teach from the Word of God. But also, only the church and their leaders at the time mostly only had the Bible. Satan, we could say, was satisfied. He was happy with all these lies, and that the Word of God was not proclaimed in his truth, was not shared and proclaimed throughout the world. Satan is powerful, but he's not almighty. And that church came into a time of much darkness. But the almighty God of heaven and earth, he whose word it is, again shed light upon the truth in his mercy and goodness. He gave grace unto men who studied his word, and by the light of the Spirit, they saw those foundational truths again that shone out of the Word of God. For example, of those five solas: by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, and Scripture alone. But also the doctrines of Tulip, Calvin saw it, out of the Word of God: total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Those truths, those beautiful truths, was again proclaimed in the church. And what was the effect? God was glorified, and poor and needy sinners were led to the only way of comfort. Sinners were convicted of their sin, and in that time they were led to only do more works. Think of Martin Luther, how he tried. Oh, he afflicted himself so many different ways to find peace with God. And what did he say? He said, if ever a monk would die from his monkery, meaning how he lived and afflicted himself, it was him. But God, in his mercy, didn't only convict Martin Luther of his sin, but also led him to show of that only way of salvation, that only way of being justified by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and he read it only in the Scripture. I think of Romans 1 verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So when we think of the Reformation, we think of God giving light upon the truth of his word for his glory and the salvation of sinners. And we may acknowledge the Lord for these blessings that we may have. We're no better than all those people maybe you saw when you came to church that don't go to church at all. But God has separated us. God has given us also, we may believe, the truth today. We may believe that we have the truth. We may not be proud of it. It should only break our hearts. So we have the truth. Do you know the truth? Do you confess the truth? But I have another question for you this morning. Do you share the truth? That's the question. We were separated, blessed, to have the truth. We know the truth. We confess the truth. But do we share the truth? There's a piece of the Reformation, a small piece, a very important piece, that also began to shine again. What was that? Let's read Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 to start with. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, where we read, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So the church has received what we call the Great Commission from the Lord Jesus Christ, who promised to always remain with his Spirit with the church. In the time of the Reformation, light was shone upon the truth of the doctrine of the precious Word of God. But the church was also given light of how they were to live in the dark world with that truth. They were brought back also to this great command, this great commission. The Lord, by his Holy Spirit, didn't only shed light upon the truth of the word, but he also showed light also upon very important parts of the word of how the church was to live in the world. The command of the Great Commission, that it should be pure preaching according to the word, teaching according to the word of God, to the truth of the whole council, to all nations, to all Jews and Gentiles, all nations, far away, but also locally congregation. It needs to go out through the whole world. And Calvin, in considering this of the Great Commission, he said, one of those great reformers, "We must always be praying for the extension of Christ's kingdom." And that's what we must do in this congregation. That's my prayer, congregation. That boys, girls, teenagers, older ones, elderly ones, men, women would be born again. That Christ's kingdom would be extended. But that's not all. We live in a world. We also must pray, as Calvin included, for the extension of the kingdom through the whole world, for our neighbors, for love for their souls. This past week, I did church visitation with Reverend Hockford in Clifton and Franklin Lakes. And then reading through those questions, there were some questions that caught my attention, especially in connection to the Great Commission. The command to the church. Listen, I'll read those questions to you. What does the church do for missions? That's a question that's asked and will be asked of us also every 2 years in church visitation. Another question, how is zeal and love for the missions aroused? Does the consistory work to win those who do not belong to our congregation? Or do we only work in the congregation? And the last question that caught my attention, does the consistory labor in neighboring locations where the church has been organized, has not been organized to the Reformed confessions? What will her answer be? What would your answer be as a member of this congregation? And so this morning, with the Lord's help, I'd like to lay before your and my heart as a consistory, as a pastor, elders, deacons, but also all of us as we are part of this congregation. The Lord has richly blessed us, congregation. Yes, it's the Lord's goodness, the Lord's mercy. And may we be convicted and convinced not only our sins against the law, but also our sins in connection to this command of the Great Commission. We need instruction. We need to know how to live in this world according to all the precepts of God's Word. And may the Lord bless it. That sinners would be convicted of their sin. And that God's people, recipients of their grace, their hearts may be stirred up. Repent. And long to live according to what God calls us. Please open your Bible now to Psalm 67. Because there we read of a man who longed and prayed to live according to what we read of the Great Commission. Psalm 67. And at this time, I will only read the first two verses. To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or song. God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. So the theme this morning is blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And in connection to the psalm, I have 4 points. 4 points. The first, the prerequisite. The prerequisite. What is needed, congregation? To obey the command of the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus has laid on us also as the church. Who is called to obey? So that's the first, the prerequisite. And I hope to explain also that word, children. The second is the purpose. What is the purpose? What is the purpose that we obey the Great Commission? What is the purpose that we read, especially also in the psalm? And how? How should the church live? So the third is the passion. What should be the passion? What should be the heart of the recipients of grace in connection to the Great Commission? What should be my passion every day as a servant? So that's the third. And then the psalm ends with a promise. What does the Lord promise? So, blessed to be a blessing. The prerequisite, the purpose, the passion, and the promise. So the first thought is the prerequisite. So that word means a thing required as a prior condition for something else to happen. So something, we need to have something in order to obey. And I would like to break this point in 2 parts. First, we'll go back to Matthew 28, verse 20. What is the Lord really telling us? Because we need to clearly understand what he's teaching the church in order so that we could obey. So that's a prerequisite. We need to understand it to be able to live in obedience. But then, there's also something else so essential also in Psalm 67, verse 1. So, first, what did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew 28, verse 20? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. So what does it mean to teach? It means to share, to impart knowledge. It means to share knowledge. That's what the word means, to share the truth. Go to all nations, teach them. Go to all people, share the knowledge, share the truth of God's word. But to who is this? Who is commanded to do this? Who? Well, first we'll start with the body of Christ, the church. And the church, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And he has given in his church on this earth office bearers. He has given a pastor, he has given elders, he has given deacons, he gives missionaries, he gives evangelists, he gives church workers. They are called to obey the great command, the commission of Jesus Christ. They are to teach, they are to share the truth of God's word. They are called to do this in the congregation, but also locally. Also in the neighborhoods, also in the cities around us, to the people, to the neighborhoods. We need to do this locally and throughout the nations. And we have, in God's providence, a mission place on Bolivia. And we may be thankful for that. And we also do have some beginnings of mission work among us. We may be thankful for that. Completely dependent upon God and his Spirit to bless his word. Because it's not our work, but it's his work. However, that's clear. The leaders whom God called sinful men. But who is? Is this only for the leaders? Or is it for also all believers? Is this for all Christians? Are they all called to do mission work? Are they all called to obey the Great Commission? What would your answer be if someone asked you? How would you answer? Some say this is only for the 11. The Lord Jesus only spoke to 11. Is that really true? Is it really true? Is that what the Bible teaches? Was Matthew 28 for 20 only proclaimed to the 11 disciples? No congregation. If you look in your Bible, in Matthew 28, verse 10, we read, "Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." So that's in context with verse 20 of the Great Commission. And then Paul wrote later in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, these words. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. Where did this take place? Where did 500 people see the Lord Jesus Christ? Many commentators agree that this was the context of Matthew 20 when he gave the Great Commission. So it was not only the 11 disciples. It was all the brethren, many believers, many recipients of God's grace also heard and were included in the Great Commission. So it's not only for those who have an official office, but it's for all Christians, all recipients of God's grace. They are blessed to be a blessing in the place where the Lord has called them to live. But now if you go to Acts 8, we read something there. Remember, Saul was persecuting the church, and he then, by that persecution, the believers, God's children, were spread throughout the regions. They went throughout the different neighborhoods, different cities. And what did they do? They preached. They evangelized. They did mission work. They shared the good news. They lived according to the Great Commission. Acts 8, verse 3 and 4. As for Saul, he made havoc for the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Ah, so they were official office bearers? No, because they refers to those that were scattered, those persecuted Christians. And preached is not the official word as preaching as you hear this morning. It means to share, to proclaim, to impart the good news. There are different words in the Bible which explain what preaching is. So we see with these two facts that all Christians are commanded to obey the Great Commission. No, that does not mean we all have to apply for church workers in Bolivia or to go to Peru. No, but it means in the sphere of life that God has given you, sheep of the good shepherd, children of God, recipients of God's grace, that you open your mouth, that I open my mouth, that you speak to others. Whoever God has placed on your path, God has separated you. God has given you the truth. And should you not share it? Should you not speak? Should you not be obedient also with this in your own life? Yes. Let's read Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32. Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32. But why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name. That so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. And also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. So we hear the responsibility of every Christian. They are to be a prophet, priest, and king. So it's not only for those who have an official office. It is clearly from the Bible, and our forefathers believed it was for every recipient of God's grace. Listen to what one of the old reformers did say. It is high time. And remember, he's speaking this in connection to the Catholic Church. It is high time that the old tradition, that the clergy alone ought to teach and spread religious knowledge, should be exploded and cast aside forever. To To do good and diffuse light is the duty for which all members of Christ's church are responsible for. So it's not only in the official offices, congregation. Are you a recipient of God's grace? You are blessed to be a blessing. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there is the Great Commission. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not something, well, maybe I will obey. Maybe I will speak. No, it's not an option. It's a duty. But it also is to be a joyful task. It's not a duty that I must do. It should be a duty that I long to do, that the Lord blesses me. He blesses me with my grace in my heart for such a wretched sinner, and I cannot keep my mouth closed. No, not that I want to talk to people about me, but I want to talk to them about Him, that He's so worthy that others would hear about Him. Congregation, we need to be in the world. We need to be separate from the world in truth and doctrine, but we need to be a light in the world. We need to speak about the truth that the Lord has given us for His honor, for His glory, and for the salvation of our neighbors, of those around us. We are not called to be a bunker Christian. What do I mean by that? That we have big, high walls and a roof and no light radiate out from us. No, that's not what we speak. Just church should be a light that radiates throughout the city, throughout the world. No, not us individually, but the truth, the word of God, of who God is for absolute wretched sinners through His dear Son, Jesus Christ. The prerequisite, we need to understand and we need to obey this great command of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must proclaim to others of death in Adam, and life in Christ, of sin and salvation, of that only way, of that free and sovereign grace, of all those doctrines of heaven and hell. We need to tell them all the truth that we are so used to hearing. So used to hearing. And we can just sit and listen to it. But it has it ever affected you? Has it ever touched you in your heart? Has your heart ever been stirred up that you as a recipient of grace, that the Lord looked upon you in mercy and you just wanted to speak to others? Your husband, your wife, your children, the man who cuts your hair, the woman who works on your teeth, the people that you see at work, your boss, those around you in the neighborhood, in the grocery store, to everyone. You don't know who the lost sheep are. The Lord knows. We're called to obey His command for His honor, for His glory. John Calvin wrote, nothing could be more inconsistent with the nature of faith than that deadness which would lead a man to disregard his brethren and to keep the light of the knowledge choked up within his own breast. Blessed to be a blessing. God blesses sinners that they would be used as an instrument for a blessing for others in the church and throughout the whole world. But maybe you feel a little paralyzed. Maybe you say that doctrine of election, God will save who He saves, so it doesn't matter. No, that's God's secret will. We have to go by His revealed will. And He called the church. He calls all His people to share the word of God. Because through the word of God, by the application of the Holy Spirit, He gathers in His sheep known to Him from all eternity. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to teach them, to share the truth. And listen, to a quote from a missionary, I think it was from David Brainerd. People may argue that the doctrine of election make missions unnecessary, but they are wrong. It does not make missions unnecessary. It makes missions hopeful and secure. No election, no salvation. That's God's secret will. We must obey and proclaim the word of God. So that's the first part of our first thought, prerequisite to understand what the Lord is commanding us. We need to understand, and may it be not only enlightening in our mind to know the truth, but may it stir up in our hearts the prerequisite, what is needed. What is so essential in your heart, in my heart? Well, let's read Psalm 67, verse 1 again. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. What do sinners need to truly obey? They need grace. They need mercy. They need his favor. May I ask you, has this prayer ever been your prayer? Did you bow your knees this morning before you came to church? Do you bow your knees before you come to church on the Lord's Day? And do you pray, God be merciful unto me and bless me and cause thy face to shine upon me? Is that your plea? There's a people that come to church. This is their prayer in these words or in other words. Is it always like that? No. But they know it. They come to church. Lord, bless me. Bless me with those blessings I can never bless myself with. Bless me with that grace to a new heart. Bless me to be sanctified, to make me holy. Bless me with that grace with the forgiveness of sins. Bless me with a little token of a favor from above. And they begin to pray because they see what they miss. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Begging Lord for mercy. Begging Lord for a little token of his favor. Is this your prayer? Or do you come to church hearing the truth? Maybe knowing the truth in certain ways? Maybe even confessing it? But not needing the real life, the core of the truth. And what is that? God. God himself. And his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This first verse is an echo of what we read in Numbers 26, verse 24 and 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Do you pray this prayer? And have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? By God's grace, you were blessed to be a blessing. Israel was separated from the world. Why? To be a blessing to the nations. Us as a church, we have been separated from the world. God separated us. No, we're not better. But God has separated us in his goodness and his mercy. But are you a blessing? Are you a blessing? God blesses his church. God blesses individuals to be a blessing. Many Israelites living under the truth and all the blessings were not a blessing at all. Not at all. And many in the church today also are blessed. Yes, we're blessed. We're blessed with God separating providential goodness and mercy to be under the truth, to hear the truth. But are you a blessing? Robert Murray McShane said, every single one in the church is a blessing or a curse. What did he mean? He said the unconverted man, the unconverted woman, the unconverted sinner who lives under the truth and yet doesn't speak of the truth is not a blessing. He was separated to be a blessing but wasn't blessed. Or are you, by God's grace, have you been blessed? And are you a blessing? And congregation, there is no neutral ground. There is no neutral ground today because we all reflect with our life a message. Your neighbors see you going to church. Your workers know you go to church. Your family knows you go to church. But are you a blessing or are you a curse? You have the truth, you know the truth, you confess the truth, but you don't live to the truth at all. You actually reflect by your deeds, by your walk, by your talk, everything negative on the name of the church, on the name of Christ. Think about it. We're to be a light, and we are a light. And by grace, we become a real light. A light to shine in this world by God's grace to reflect his truth and his image to those around us. There is no neutral ground, congregation. We are either positive reflection or we are a negative reflection. Man with grace is to be blessed, to be a blessing, to be a light, to shine in this dark world. But to be under the truth and to be graceless, we do not shine as a light as God has given us to be blessed. And yes, we need God's free and sovereign grace, but it doesn't excuse us. We're guilty this morning, congregation. We're guilty against the law. We're guilty against the gospel. We're guilty also against this command. All of us, myself included. Because who of us lives according to this command as he ought to? By nature, we have no care, no need for God, no long for his honor, for his glory. It's all self-centered. And after grace, how we can be so cold and how we keep our mouth so often closed. It's not an excuse that we need God's grace. It should bring us to the place that we are guilty, guilty. God has separated you, congregation. God has blessed you with the truth. But are you a blessing? Are you a blessing or are you a curse? And yet by God's grace, sinners are born again, and they begin to truly pray, God be merciful unto us and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, and they taste of his mercy and of his grace. And then they long to speak. Out of the mercy received, they speak of mercy. Out of the blessings they received, they speak of those blessings. And out of the favor shown upon them, they can speak to other of the real favor that there is in this life. So the prerequisite, we need grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. Because how? How will we ever speak of the beauties that we confess, that the Lord speaks of in his word, if we do not have any knowledge? They will feel it. They will feel it if it comes from your head or from your heart when you talk to them about their souls and about their need to be born again, to be reconciled, that there's sin and that there's a Savior. How can you speak about a Savior that they need to hear? Those dying sinners perishing under sin when you do not know him. May this put you in a place that you really truly begin to pray, God be merciful to me. God bless me. Cause thy face to shine upon me. I heard. I was blessed to be a blessing, but I've never been a blessing at all. I've only been a curse. May you confess your sin, and may the Lord come. Renew your heart. Touch your heart with his mercy, with his blessings, with his favor, and that your heart may begin to burn. God blesses sinners to be a blessing, to speak of the truth, of the wonders of his grace. Think of that Samaritan woman in John 4. She was dead in sins and trespasses. The Lord proclaimed to her the gospel, to say it simply. And she didn't understand it at all. Not at all. She just wanted water to satisfy her body, that she wouldn't have to come to the well to drink anymore. That was nice. But the Lord convicted her with the gospel, with the law. And she was uncovered. She became thirsty. She drank, and what did she do? She was blessed to be a blessing. She was blessed to be a blessing. And she went out and she opened her mouth. She didn't speak of herself. What did she say? What do we read in John 4 verse 29? Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? She received a blessing, a little token of mercy, of grace. She tasted of it. And what did she do? That should be your life and my life, Church of God, sheep of the Good Shepherd, to speak of him. Blessed to be a blessing for the honor and the glory of God. And we need grace upon grace upon grace. We need to be conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ, the greatest missionary that ever came to this world. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. And may I show you a little picture of him this morning? Him who was pure and holy, who had a heart of compassion for perishing sinners, for the whole world. He had a heart of compassion. See him on that hill outside of Jerusalem? He looked upon that city and he saw all those wicked sinners living there. And he knew that many of them would soon cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They were only his enemies. You see him there? You see him there, that Savior? His heart was filled with compassion and he wept over that city. And what did he say? "How oft I would have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks, but ye would not." Oh, may we as a church reflect the image of the head of the church for his glory and for the salvation of sinners. So that's the prerequisite. We need to understand the truth of the command, and we need grace upon grace upon grace to live according to this command. We need daily mercy, daily blessings, and daily favor that our hearts would burn for him. Second, the purpose. Let's read verse 2. "That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations." You could put in the beginning of that verse, to understand it, you could read it this way. The first verse, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us so that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations." God blesses sinners with a purpose. What's the purpose? The purpose that we read in this text, that his way may be known among the nations. That the way of truth, the way of the right way to live according to his commandments, that we share the truth of the will of God, of all the Ten Commandments, that they may know right way to live, what's sin, what's evil, but more, that they may know the right way, the only way. What's the right way? What is the only way back to God for those perishing sinners, for perishing sinners here and those around us living throughout this world? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the only way. He's the saving health among all nations. Salvation in Jesus Christ. The Lord blesses sinners to be a blessing so that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. And so you see a sinner praying, "God be merciful unto me." God blesses them with mercy. They taste it so that they would speak of mercy unto others, of those who need mercy. They pray and bless us. God blesses them with his grace, with the benefits through the merits of Jesus Christ, so that they would go and speak of those blessings unto others that's available in that triune almighty God by his free and sovereign grace. And cause, you see them praying, "And cause thy face to shine upon us, upon me." And they receive that favor of God, a little token. And then that melts their heart. And that they would be a blessing then to others to speak that we are only worthy of wrath. But there is favor with God through that only way, through salvation, through his son Jesus Christ. They need to hear it. They need to hear the truth. So what's the purpose? "So that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations." Sinners blessed to be a blessing, to speak the whole counsel of God and that way of salvation through Jesus Christ and him alone. That is a free grace, free and sovereign grace alone. That no sinner is too vile, no sinner too old, no sinner too young, no sinner too hard. But there's hope because of him. We may have the truth, we may hear of hope, but may we be stirred up to speak of hope to those around us who are perishing on the broad way. They're perishing, congregation. Do you see it? Imagine if you went to the hospital and you saw some people in beds dying. And you had medicine in your pocket that could help every single one of them. Would you just walk by them? Would you? You say that's cruelty. That's not love. Congregation, we have the truth. God gave us the truth. And sinners are perishing. They're perishing under darkness, false doctrines, sick doctrines. They need to hear the truth for the glory of God. Blessed to be a blessing. The prerequisite, the purpose. And now let's sing from Psalter 178, standing all four stanzas. And may we sing this as a prayer. Lord, bless and pity us. Shine on us with thy face, that all the earth thy way may know, and men may see thy grace. Psalter 178, all four stanzas. Blessed to be a blessing. The Great Commission. And blessed to be a blessing. We heard a little bit of the prerequisite, the need, especially for grace, the purpose. But why? How? Our third thought, the passion. How should the hearts of the recipient's grace be? What should be their heartbeat? What should be inflamed in their hearts? How should they live? Let's read Psalm 67, verse 3 and 5. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Mission work is all about the church getting bigger? No. It's all about God. God's name. It's about His glory. It's about His kingdom. It's about the name of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. The passion of mission, of heart, of obeying this great commission should be, let all the people praise thee, Lord. Let all the nations know thee. Let my neighbors know thee. Let my family know thee. Let my workers know me. Let those that live around me know thee. That they may truly know thee in the depth of the word, because knowing thee will lead to praising thee. That should be the passion, the goal, the whole heart, for the glory. For the glory of God. For the glory of His Son. And so you see, congregation, if we don't live in obedience, it's not about us. It's not about us at all, but it's about His name. It's about His kingdom. It's about His honor, about His glory. And my dear pastor, Reverend Reitberg, in Chilliwack, he said, a church that does not do mission is a dead church. Why? Because there's not this passion. If we believe we're blessed to be a blessing, recipients of God's grace, can we keep our mouths closed? It needs to open. And we need to speak in the place God has given us. No, we don't need to go down the street tomorrow with a trumpet and proclaim. That's not what I mean. Just simply in your own life with those around you, speak. Speak about Him. Oh, that person may know the Lord through the Word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know something of the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, that only Savior of sinners? And do you keep your mouth shut? Do you never share the beauties of Him? Can I lay that before your heart this morning? Do you really know what it's to be blessed? He's blessed you for a purpose. Why? For His name. Oh, let the nations praise thee. Oh, that they may know thee. Speak about the little you know. And may the Lord teach us more about Him, that we may speak more about Him for His honor and for His glory. The whole purpose and the passion is for the glory of God. Worship is ultimate. Why? Because God is ultimate. It's all for the glory of God. The passion, the heartbeat of me as a minister should be that you, boys, girls, you, teenagers, older ones, that you would come to know that Almighty God of heaven and of earth, that you would come to know His Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would truly begin to live for the purpose you were created, for His glory. That should be my heart. That should be the heartbeat of these men sitting here in these offices. Yes, we're guilty. We're guilty in this too. But it also should be the heartbeat of all the recipients of grace, blessed to be a blessing. Oh, may the Lord stir up our hearts, that He may blow with the wind of that Holy Spirit, and that we may let loose of all the world, let loose all of our own honor and glory, that's not important, that we may speak, that He may touch our hearts, that He may blow in the garden of our heart, and that our hearts may throb, long to speak of the wonders of His grace, that you may hear, and that you may come to know through the hearing. Because through the hearing God works faith, faith in Him, faith in His Son, faith of being lost, faith of the only way of salvation in Jesus Christ. The goal, the whole goal of everything is the glory of God and the gladness of people in God. God's glory and the salvation of sinners is connected, all for one purpose, for the glory of God. Jonathan Edwards said, the great end of God's works, which is so variously expressed in Scripture, is indeed but one. And this one is most properly and comprehensively called the glory of God. Obedience to the Great Commission. The prerequisite, the need for grace, the purpose, that they may know the truth, that they may know the way of salvation. The passion is for the glory of God. Psalm 97 verse 1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. May I ask you, office bearers, myself, what is my passion? What is your passion, brothers? What's the passion of you, congregation? What's the passion? What do you wake up with? What do you go to sleep with? What's in the deep depth of your heart? Is this what we hear in this psalm? Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Is that our life? That's what it should be. We're guilty. And we need God's grace. Are you blessed? Then you're blessed to be a blessing. Our last thought, the promise. The Lord ends this psalm with a promise. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Blessed to be a blessing. The prerequisite, the purpose, the passion. And now God even gives a promise. This psalm begins with a prayer unto God. God blesses sinners so that his way may be known, that the nations may know, may hear, be blessed, and he gives a promise upon obedience to his commands. And Church of God, disobedience, recipients of God's grace, disobedience to this command, you can only expect darkness and grieving the Holy Spirit. And so we need to bring it home on our knees. And yet the Lord gives a promise. The earth shall yield her increase. So naturally we sow seed. Why? To expect a harvest. So we sow the seed in the earth, right, children? A little plant, and later there's a harvest. But now it's a picture, because there's a sowing the seed of the word in obedience to the Great Commission in the church, in the families, and throughout the whole world. And God promises a harvest. God promises that there will be blessings upon obedience, upon the sharing the truth of his precious word. And I would like to read you from Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. Please open your Bible. Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So you see all nations. The prayer is, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. That's the passion, should be. And his word is proclaimed, and through the foolishness of preaching. No, there's no expectation in how we do this. It's not our techniques. It's not our cause. We must obey faithfully to share simply the words, dependent upon, entirely upon the Spirit that we read in Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And upon that word being shared, imparted, the nations taught, the congregations taught, preached to from the word of God, God promises a great harvest, a great multitude that no man could number. But the question for you and me, will you and I be among them? Will you be cast out? And a neighbor who didn't grow up in the truth and yet heard the truth was blessed, and he will enter in. Not growing up under the truth, and you blessed with the truth for so many years, but rejecting it. Yes, that's what we do. Hardening our hearts, rejecting it. And he will enter in. Congregation, may I lay this, the word of God, before your heart. Take it home. May you bring it on your knees. And may you confess, if you're blessed in an outward way, under the truth, but never really blessed, without his mercy, without his grace, may it become your guilt, your loss. Become a beggar and beg, Lord, bless me with that grace that revealeth unto the saints, reveal it unto me. But Church of God, recipients of God's grace, listen to the command, listen to the word. May it bring us on our knees, begging him for everything we need in obedience. He has an abundance of grace. And then I would like to end with one text. Listen. 1 John 3, verse 16 through 18. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Why did I bring this text up? Why did I share it? It's not about financially. Yes, we can also care and love our neighbors and those around us with financial needs. But whoso hath this world's good, congregation, the Lord has blessed us with the greatest good in this world, his precious word and the truth of his word. So we have the greatest good, and were you blessed under the greatest good, the precious gospel? And do you shut up your bowels of compassion from your neighbors and from others? You have the greatest good, but you don't share it. You just shut it all up. You don't speak. Not at all. It's guilty. Lay this before your heart. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How? May the Lord work mightily by his word and his spirit, that sinners may be blessed, and that sinners blessed by his free and sovereign grace, their hearts may be inflamed, broken, and long for that one purpose, with that one passion, trusting upon his promise that his word will never, ever return void, and that we may speak for the glory of his name and the glory of his son and love for perishing sinners. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we're all guilty. Guilty as a congregation, guilty by nature, but also guilty after being blessed with thy grace. Oh, we beg thee for the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be born again and begin to live for this purpose, to speak for the honor, for the glory of thy name. Remember each of thy dear people. Oh, break those hearts again with thy love, and that their hearts may have that passion. Oh, that others may know of thee, because thou art so worthy to be honored, to be glorified, and to praise. Oh, Lord, give it by the work of thy Holy Spirit, may it be blessed, and that thou would bless thy word, that we may speak in our homes, in the workplace, prisons, among children, and wherever thy word is proclaimed here, locally, but also throughout the entire world. Oh, may we truly pray. Oh, Lord, may the nations know thee. Oh, that they may praise thee. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. May we acknowledge thee for this time together, for thy word, and for thy help. Forgive us of all our sins. Help the elders in teaching catechism. Give them that passion that we have read of, and that the hearers may hear, the children may hear, that it comes from their hearts. Lord, bless it. Bring us again here this evening, if it is in thy will. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 49 in closing stanzas 1 and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. Psalter 49, stanzas 1 and 3. Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.